Would you hold them up real high? Boy, it's a good to see everybody. Forget about eating. Open your Bible, please. The book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll start reading, if you would, in verse 57 when you find your place. I'm not real sure, but what is today, Miss Wanda? What's today, the date? Sunday, the what? So we got 14 days to what? To Christmas. Yesterday, the subject matter was brought up about Christmas. I said, I'd give anything in the world if we would go back to the simplicity of Christmas. Get off all this commercialization. It's not a matter of getting a gift. It's a matter of giving. Amen, Brother Sisson. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Not my wife come every now and then. Brother, you might ought to turn me down. I need this for my radio, but turn it down just a little bit. My wife sometimes comes up with the best ones you've ever seen. She asked me, she said, nobody really knows when the Aramaic calendar was started, but yet we celebrate the December the 25th, the birth of our Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. That's wonderful that He died. It's wonderful that He came into the world. It's wonderful that He resurrected. My wife said, she said, isn't it amazing we celebrate the Lord's birthday? We all get gifts on His birthday, but we don't give Him nothing. It's His birthday. We ought to be celebrating the birth of the Lord. Does anybody hear it all? You should have never told them we was going to eat. But am I not right? Am I not right? We get gifts on the 25th. Or some of you ain't going to get nothing. Namely, a couple I know of your immediate right. They ain't getting nothing. But remember when Christmas used to be a little apple or orange or candy? Them other little things about big as you. There's chocolate. Do y'all remember them? Yeah. But we'd go. Quit it! We'd go out and cut an old cedar tree, drag the thing in, and now they're about to get it. Now they're getting it. But we would make string popcorn, make their own ornaments. Am I right? And it was a simple thing. A simple thing. And yet, our day and time, it's commercialization, and you give them gifts, and 2 weeks later, they don't even know where the gift's at. Something bad wrong with that. What I'd like to do, if I can, I'm in Matthew, please, chapter 27. Would you stand, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God? And we'll start reading in verse 57. I've never seen so many people so depressed and downhearted in all my life. They run into Walmart, run out of Walmart, run over you with a shopping cart. Don't know how to say excuse me. Amen, Sisson. It's like I heard about these two lifelong friends. They hadn't seen each other for 3 weeks. So they met down to this restaurant to eat breakfast together. The one man looked over at the other man and said, why are you so depressed? Why are you so discouraged? He looked at him and he said, well, last week, he said, my aunt died and left me $30,000. Said, the second week, my other aunt died and left me $50,000. Said, the third week, said, my uncle on my dad's side died and left me $250,000. He looked at him and said, then why are you so depressed? He said, I didn't receive nothing this week. That's about us, amen. But read with me in Matthew 27, in verse 57. Ready? When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, watch carefully now, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of it, of a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and he departed, and there was Mary Magdalene and Mary, and sitting over against the sepulchre, which that's just a grave. Lord Jesus, we love You, and thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that's already went forth this morning. Lord, would You please forgive us, Lord, to where that, Lord, we've changed the invisible into the visible. Lord, we've tried to bring You down to our level. God, I pray, Spirit of God, come and meet with us this morning. I pray, Lord, call me to my calling, make preaching easy for me. And then, Lord Jesus, may you come in view. I pray in your name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 27, hey, Brother Lawrence, how many years you've been preaching?
Since 69.
I've been preaching since 43 years. The dear brother back there, Brother Bradley's father-in-law. How many years you been preaching? How many years you been preaching, missionary? 55. Y'all just excuse us for a minute. You're the one that led him in your family. If I'd have been there, I'd have voted against you. How many is the least you've ever had at a funeral? The least. What's the least you ever had at a funeral? I buried a lady, 93 years old. And I had to go get three men to help me carry her body. When we got to the graveside from the funeral home, there was a total of us, including the funeral director, seven of us standing at her graveside. For a little while, I want to preach on two men at a funeral. Go back and look in your Bible, back in verse 57. The evening was come, there's a rich man of Arimathea. Notice that he's rich. And then it says, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Turn over just a few pages in your Bible and go with me right quick and look in your Bible in Mark, please, in chapter 15. Anytime you're reading the Word of God, you ought to always read the accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look in Mark, please, in chapter 15, same account, but I want you to watch this. In Mark chapter 15, read with me verse 43. Mark 15, boy, why is that thing doing that? Why is it going up and down? Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, it says an honorable. Well, it says he was a rich man in Matthew. Now he's an honorable man, a counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Here is a man, Joseph of Arimathea. He is, I'll show you in a moment, but he's waiting for the kingdom of God. And he went in boldly unto Pilate, and the Bible says, and he craved the body of Jesus. Do y'all see that? How many of y'all see that? Boy, that's an interesting word, the word crave, C-R-A-V-E-D. He craved the body of Jesus. I don't have a lot of sense. But I do know this from Brother Chris this morning. I reached over to tap Brother Lawrence. In the book of Romans, he says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Paul's always talking about the gospel of Christ. Did you know, according to the book of 1 Corinthians 15, did you know that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture? Did you know that He was buried, according to the Scriptures? Do you know that He arose again, according to the Scriptures? It's all what this is, according to the Scriptures. A man asked me the other day, he said, Preacher, when are you going to preach on hell again? You don't want to get me started on that subject. He told me, he said, rarely do I ever even hear hell mentioned at the church I attend. He said, rarely do I ever hear anything about the bodily resurrection of our Lord. We hear a lot about Christmas, about the virgin birth. He was virgin born. Say amen. He was the virgin born Son of God. The Bible says, and you shall call Him Emmanuel, or God with us. But you've got to keep in right mind when I read this to you, that in Matthew's Gospel, in John chapter 1, when John the Baptist appeared on the scene, amen, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There had been 400 silent years. There had been no prophet of God. There had been no voice from God. And all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist. He said, there's one coming whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now then, a whole lot of things have elapsed between here and Matthew 27. What made Joseph of Arimathea, what made him come? How many of y'all remember that the Bible says this? How many of y'all remember that's all I'm interested in? All right, if he died according to the Scriptures, and he arose according to the Scriptures, and he was buried according to the Scriptures, how did they do it? Well, when they'd been Israel had been in Egyptian bondage, 400 silent, they had been down there 400 plus years. They had learned the ways of the Egyptians. In Genesis 50, Joseph said, don't you leave my body down here. And that's the first time you find the word embalmed is in Genesis chapter 50. I got this funeral director. He and I have got this thing together. If I die, he's to take care of me. If he dies, I'm going to take care of him. Can y'all imagine that? But that's the thing between me and him. What I'd like to do if I can, what made Joseph, what made him come, and the Bible says this, I want you to watch this. Go back and look in verse 44 in Mark 15. It says, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead. Do y'all know anything about Jewish culture? Do you know how that it was preparation of the Sabbath day? They couldn't touch a dead body. They could not be around a grave. That's the reason why that they had to go through the graveyard and they whitewashed the sepulcher. That's the reason why they put a big white thing on it, because they couldn't be around a grave. They couldn't touch a body. But here is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus coming, and they want the body of Jesus. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. What made Joseph do that? Go back, look in your Bible. What made him do that? Boy, I got this inquisitive nature. Did you know that Joseph was from Arimathea? Did you know that's 25 miles from Jerusalem? Why would he have been at Jerusalem? Why would he have been there? Was he there for the Sabbath day? Did God somehow or another reveal to this man that was the Son of God? I know a little bit about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came, and he came by night. He says, good master, we know that there is a man sent from God, for no man can do these miracles. And Jesus told him, marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. Now then, but I find in this chapter that Joseph comes to Pilate and he wants the body of Jesus. Now watch this. Are y'all, boy, they're hanging on every word I'm saying. Go to John, please, just for a moment. Go to John, please, chapter 19, same account. I want you to ponder this with me. How many of you, anybody here in education field? Them poor young'uns. Not you, Sister Bradley, him. How many of y'all ever heard this? Put your thinking caps on. When I was a kid, how many of y'all, your teacher used to say, put your thinking caps on. 1, 2. The teacher used to say, put your thinking cap on. Now I want you to ponder this. I want you to think about it with me. Look at John chapter 19. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Boy, I had a problem with that. I had a problem with that. For it says he was a disciple, but for fear of the Jews. Well, what did he fear? He didn't fear coming before Pilate. Amen. Pilate was the one that just told you. He said, I find no fault in this man. He had just washed his hands with the Son of God. Am I right or wrong? Now here we find that Joseph, 25 miles, he was. Why did he have a tomb? Why did he go dig the thing? He's a rich man. It looks to me like my thinking, if he's going to dig him a tomb, he'd have dug it from his home place, 25 miles, which is Arimathea. Boy, it's getting quiet. Look in John, please, and look in John chapter 19. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but for secret fear of the Jews, and I'll come back to that, he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Now watch carefully. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, took the body of Jesus. Have y'all ever thought about it? Have you ever just put it in your mind? Have you ever just thought about this, Betty? Jesus has been beaten unmercifully. He's got a crown of thorns. They had nailed him to the cross. Now then, Joseph and Pilate. Joseph goes before Pilate and he gets to leave, and Pilate says, all right, go get the body. They go up on top of Golgotha. I've been there. They lay the cross down. One of them's got to get the nails out of his hand, right? They take the crown of thorns off. And the Bible says that 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. One of them has to carry the 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. One of them's got to carry the body of Jesus. What made those men do that? Why would Joseph, why would he go before Pilate knowing that all Pilate had to do, you're one of them disciples. That's all he had to do. But now watch this. Go and look in John 19. There came also a Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it. Did y'all see that? How many of y'all see it? Raise your hand. We're talking about two men at a funeral. Hey, where in the name of heaven's Peter at? Where's Mary Magdalene at? Where's the disciples at? Where is the 70 at? Where are they all at the funeral? There's only two men there. I want you to picture this in your mind. We know that there's a centurion up there. He's in charge of the Roman guards. We know that when they took Jesus and nailed him, we know that he's on the cross 6 hours. We know that he's in total darkness the last 3 hours of his life. We know John 19:30. We know that Jesus cries with a loud voice. He cried, "It's finished." We know that. But somewhere, this man by the name of Joseph and Nicodemus was somewhere back there and heard him cry, "It's finished." How many of y'all remember the Roman soldier? How many of y'all remember he come and took a spear and stuck in the side of the Son of God? How many of y'all remember when it says he was dead already? What kind of a man would bother a dead body? But yet he stuck the spear in, forthwith came blood and water. Now, they crucify the Son of God. Now then, the Roman soldiers, the Bible says, that they're down casting lots for his garments to polish their armor. The material would have been a commodity. So they're casting lots for his garment. All of a sudden, here comes Nicodemus and Joseph. And Pilate gave them leave. So they must have just parted company like a Red Sea. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they come, and the Roman soldiers were barbaric and cruel. But I'm saying they took the cross and laid it down. They pulled the nails out. I wonder, we ought to just stop maybe and just shout a while. Can you imagine one of them carrying the body of the Son of God? I wonder, did he look down into the face of the Son of God? I wonder, did he see the side, laid open by a spear? They have beaten him unmercifully. His face is no doubt swollen. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Thank God Jesus died, amen, and paid our sin debt. I was coming down here and I had to pull my car over the side of the road and have a spell. I do that occasionally. How many of y'all remember when Jesus, when he was born, how many of y'all remember? There's no room for him in where? In the inn. Our Western thinking, I've been to Israel so many times. See, they don't have barns like we have barns. They got cliffs that stick out, ledges stick out like this, and they just take old rocks and stack them up. And I thought about when Jesus was born. And I thought about they didn't have formula. And I thought about when Jesus came into this world. And they laid him in the arms of Mary. And Mary looked up at it, Mary looked down at her son. And Jesus, can you imagine when they had eye contact? Can you imagine when Mary and Jesus had eye contact? Whew, Lord Jesus, amen. Can you just imagine him nursing his mom? Don't y'all ever think? Can you just not think? Look at him, look at his mama. Whew, Lord, I'd run a while, but I have to walk back. But can you imagine that? In her heart, she knows she's never been with a man. She knows that that is the Son of God. Now then, she also knows, here in just a moment, I'll prove it to you, that her and John is the only ones standing, and they stand afar off. Jesus is hanging there in the nude. The Roman soldiers are gambling for his garments. All of a sudden, Joseph and Nicodemus show up. One of them's got the 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. Where would they have got that at? It was preparation of the Sabbath day. Where would they have got the 100 pounds? Did they prepare for it already? Well, what made them do that? What would make them go get 100 pounds of spices and myrrh and aloe? Y'all got your thinking cap on, ain't you? They couldn't have run nowhere and got. They must have had it already. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, what made Joseph do that and what made Nicodemus do that? Ponder it in your mind. Let me show you this. So go back, look at right on the slide of your Bible. Why did Joseph make a sepulcher at Jerusalem? Write it down for me. Number two, why did Joseph select a place outside the gate? The old Jerusalem is 5 square miles of walls. Did you know in the book of Hebrews it was told that Jesus would be crucified outside the gate? Did you know that when I was over in Israel the second time, when I was standing on Mount Moriah, I come unglued. Our guide, he's equivalent to our college professor. He's talking about when Abraham offered up Isaac. He says, in the mount it shall be seen. He quoted the verse. That didn't mean a whole lot. But boy, when I got to Israel, when I got to Jerusalem, and they pointed out Mount Moriah to me, if everything had been gone like it was in Abraham's day when Abraham offered up Isaac, you could see Mount Calvary. Brother Sisson, you see, it was prophesied that he would be what? Put in a tomb wherein never yet a man lay. It was told the very place, Bethlehem, where he would be born. The Jews took pride, the Orthodox Jew, they took pride in reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Brother Chris got on the Ten Commandments this morning. They were authoritarians on the Ten Commandments. Now then, I read this. Somebody had read to them, in the mount it shall be seen. In a typology, Abraham offering up his Isaac, a perfect type when Jesus was going to come into this world. Perfect type. He fulfilled all the types. Third thing, let me show you. Why did Joseph choose Golgotha, the place of the skull? Why did he do that? Second thing, right quick, write this down for me. Notice if you went, please, in Mark 15, he went boldly. That's what the Bible says. He craved the body of Jesus somewhere back there. He got a peace in his heart. Woo! Thank God, boy, I'm glad. I've got the peace of God, peace with God, and I'm glad, thank God. Hey, there's peace. What would you give to have peace of mind? Well, that's one thing all this world's absent of. You can't argue with me, Jay. For him to go into Pilate and crave the body of Jesus, something's already happened. He must have knew that was the Messiah. Woo! Let me show you this now. Watch it. He craved the body. He laid everything on the line by identifying with what's important. That was the Son of God. Did y'all get that? For him to take and pull them nails out of the Son of God's legs. Pull the nails out of his hands. Whew. Lord Jesus, that's about to make me have a spell. He's identifying. Nothing else mattered to him except the body of the Son of God. Let me show you this. Not only the peace, he craved the body. The preparation, John 19, the ninth hour. He'd had no time to go get the linen cloth. I mean, 100 pounds of mixture of myrrh and aloes and spices. Now, I want you to watch here. The problem, he begged the body from Pilate. He begged the body. I love Oliver Green. I've listened to Oliver Green about all my, ever since I got saved when I was 19. Oliver Green said years gone by, said this man was in Kentucky. It ain't like it is here. It's up where I'm from. He let somebody die. Boy, he was a good man. He'd loan you his tractor. He'd help you put up your hay. He'd do anything. He's just a good man. But all the time, he's just wicked as hell. So he died. The wife and 2 kids are sitting on the front row. This preacher got up there talking about how good that man was. How good he was. The wife looked over at the oldest son and said, go up there and see if that's your dad. Sometimes we don't like to think about people dying and going to hell. But I'm telling you, with all that's within me, if they don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, they're lost. It's not a matter of how good you are. Here was a man, the Mark tells us, a good man, an honorable man, a just man, waiting for the kingdom of God. Now watch this. Are y'all ready? Go back to John, please, chapter 19. Ready? He did not fear losing his position in the Sanhedrin or losing his temple rights or his wealth or his friends or his reputation. He identified with what was what? Important. So we all get together Christmas where did we ever get this stuff, Christmas tree in the house, putting gifts underneath the tree? Lord Jesus. Could I ask y'all a real question? Are y'all ready? You ready? Mr. South Africa, I like you, boy. Look at here. Where did we get sending funerals at a funeral? Sending flowers at a funeral. Where did we get doing that? Boy, is it quiet in here. Why did we start sending flowers at funerals? Y'all really want to do something for me? Look up the word F-U-N-E-R-A-L. Find out the origin of the word funeral. Look at y'all's faces. Let me tell you why they started sending flowers. In this day and time, they use myrrh, aloe, and spices. Am I right? 100 pounds of it. Can you just picture this in your mind? Can you see Joseph or Nicodemus carrying the body of Jesus? They get to its own new tomb and they lay it down and they start washing those wounds. And then they use the spices, and then the Bible says they wound it. They wound it up like a cocoon. They'd hand it down from generation. And it's hot in Israel. When I was there, man, it was almost 100 degrees every day. Can you imagine a body? Can you imagine? They didn't know how to drain the blood, and it wasn't but a matter of time till the body would have started stinking. So in our Western culture, before embalming in formaldehyde into your body, they started sending flowers because of the odor would cut down the odor of the dead body or the decaying body. Now it's respect. You ever walk into a funeral home and smell that odor? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever walked into a funeral home and it'd be all them flowers, and first thing you do, you smell that the odors of the flowers? That would put down the decaying body. And I've got to show you something. Ready? I want you to watch this. Go to John 19. Are you ready? I'm sorry, John 20. Now let me read verse 41. It's too good. Okay, verse 41, John 19. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. See, there's no accidents with God. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein never a man laid there. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Go to John 20. Now look, if you don't mind, in verse... let me read verse 5. He stooping down, he looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulcher, and he see the linen clothes lie. Did y'all raise your hand? Here, let me show you what they done. Let me show you. Look up here. Everybody look at me. They would take linen cloth. How many of y'all remember what Jesus was wrapped in at his birth? Say it back to me. Swaddling clothes. They'd take that body and they'd wash it, take the myrrh and aloe, and they would wrap it just like this. They put layers of spices and layers of aloe and layers of myrrh, and they'd wrap the body till the body was totally wrapped like a cocoon. Now I want you to look, if you don't mind, in John 20. Look in verse 7, please. The last thing, and every Orthodox Jew knew what this meant. If Brother Lawrence, Miss Sharon said, Brother Sisson, in the days of our Lord, hospitality meant a great thing to a Jew. There's a long distance from home. Brother Lawrence said, I want you to come and have a meal with me. So I go to Brother Lawrence's and Miss Sharon's. First thing I do when I walk in the door, if they had a servant, they'd wash my feet. Ready? Then they would bring dates, whatever they had for a meal. But look in verse 20, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but say it back to me. But what? Come on, help me. But wrapped together in a place by... Hey, Jay, don't you dare just sit right still. Okay, I got you wrapped up, right? Mm-hmm. Now, guess what a Jew would do? They take, this is clean. I ain't blowing my nose or nothing. They take, and they do this right here. They take a napkin and lay over his face like that. Just like this. I wish I could do it. They lay that napkin over that dead body. Now then, it says it was wrapped in a place by itself. Did y'all see that? The linen clothes was like a cocoon. Just an empty cocoon. Clothes laying there. But it says the napkin was over here wrapped in a place by itself. with their faces. Why was the napkin over there by itself? Jesus just come, his spirit come right through the linen clothes. But then why did he take the napkin and lay it over there? Look back in your Bible, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Every Orthodox Jew knew what that meant. They take, where's an offering plate? Ain't got nobody in an offering plate in this whole church. That's pitiful. It's supposed to be a Baptist church. Give me the offering plate. Look here. In the Jewish culture, I come and eat at his house, right? Say amen. I ate at his house. I'm getting ready to leave. I'd take my plate and turn it upside down, just like that. And I'd take the napkin and I'd lay it on top of it. Woo! You know what that meant? When I'm back in town, I'll come see you. Ain't that a blessing, Brother Lawrence? That's what that means. In other words, I will be back. Hallelujah! We have a promise from our Savior. I will be back. Come right through them linen clothes. No fear of the Jews. No fear of Pilate. No fear of Herod. All right, now let's get back again. Why did Joseph go to Pilate and want the body? Why did Nicodemus? Can't y'all see, Brother Bradley, put your thinking cap on. Can you see them walking right past them Romans? They got the body of Jesus, right? They're going to its own new tomb. Now look in your Bible. I've got to show you this right quick, hurry. Don't you move my neck. Go back to Matthew chapter 27 with me right quick. Look in your Bible. It won't take me but a minute. Go to Matthew 27. Ready? Look in verse 59, please. I'm going to read verse 38. He went to Pilate, verse 27, chapter 27, and he begged the body of Jesus. So he identified with the Son of God by going in there and wanting the body. Now he's ceremonially unclean, right? Now go on, look in your Bible. Now what? Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it. Notice that word, he wrapped it, and the Bible says, in a clean linen cloth. Look in verses 60. And laid it in his own new tomb, which, would y'all sit back? Say it. He had hewn. Do you see the word he? He had hewn out of it. Now look in the same chapter. Had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre. I've been there. I've seen the channel. You can see the imprint of the stone. It's plain as day. Anybody ever been to Israel? Been to Golgotha? They had chiseled out. And you could see, honestly, you can step back like this and you could see the imprint of that great big stone. And it had a channel where it would roll. And he rolled the stone back over it. Matthew tells us that Pilate marveled because he was dead already. But now watch this. Look in verse 66, please. Same chapter. So they go back to Pilate, and Pilate said, you got to watch. Talking about the rock. So they went and they made the sepulchre sure, and sealing the stone, and they set a watch. Whatever happened to Joseph? Whatever happened to Nicodemus? Will I meet him in heaven? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Sure as you took that breath, I'm going to meet them men in heaven. Two men at a funeral. Question, Brother Jay. Where is all of them that he won to the Lord? Where's Lazarus at? Where's the woman at the well? Where's the 12? I know Judas went out and he's going to hang himself. But I'm saying, where are the 11 at? Where are they at? Let me ask y'all a question. Where are they at today? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. Brother, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus ain't laying in no manger. Had the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. And I was over at Israel. That guide we had. Did you know they had to put bars up about this big, rebar, where it's got a channel like this right here. Look here, inside of it, it's just like a cave. But then they chiseled out this place where they laid a body. And so they had put rebar in front of to keep people from chipping off places stones to bring it back with them. So our government, our wonderful government, they appropriated $400,000 to go to major colleges, I think there's four of them, they got grants, and go over there and take little dust specks and analyze them and tell them if ever a body had ever laid in that tomb. They got back and all of their analysis was, and those great learned minds, they said, nobody has ever decayed in that tomb. I could have told them that before they ever went over there. We could have given it to missions. But honestly, they took and analyzed what's supposedly the dust, and they said, nobody has ever decayed in that tomb. Hallelujah. Now let me ask you a question. I'm like Brother Chris, boy, I believe this book is God-breathed. Why did he say it was wrapped in a place by itself? To show to me and you, thank God, we got a hope. Hallelujah. God only knows, Brother Chris, where we're going with this mess. I was listening to NPR News coming down here. This may be the last Christmas we all have together. May not even get to Christmas. Sort of amazed me it didn't come today. I was listening to NPR News. Did you know since the World War II, we've had what they call foreign, say it back to me, aid since World War II. You cannot buy friends. We've tried it. The United States has tried it over and over and over again. So guess what our wonderful... Well, I'm just going to say it. Just guess what Baraka has now signed in. That anybody in the European world that's getting foreign aid from America, they are going to do analysis if they are mean to the gays, their funding is going to be cut off. Boy, is it quiet in here. Human rights, you know. Honestly, I'm telling you, NPR News just said that. That if they got any type of American if they got American dollars, their funding, they're going to be scrutinized, and if they're what they call if they're mean or vicious toward gays or lesbians. How about this? And he says, my thinking has now evolved toward homosexuals. There ain't no such thing as evolving. Black's black, white's white, no gray area. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, we're in a mess. But I'm glad my hope ain't up there. Please listen to me this morning. Would you be person enough to identify the Son of God? Would you say, yes, sir, I'll hand out gospel tracts. Yes, sir, I'll give to missions. Yes, sir, I'll be a part of the mission program. Yes, sir, I'll get involved. Hey, Joseph did and Nicodemus did. You know what I'm going to do? Not only pondering this, not only the peace that he had, not only the preparation of that problem, but then the preaching of it. 4 days before that Sabbath day, they had to go take and whitewash every sepulcher so they didn't even put their hand on it. If their hand was on a grave, they were ceremonially unclean. And boy, that Sabbath day meant a lot to them. Our day and time, the Lord's day, don't mean nothing. The Word of God don't mean nothing. Teaching of the Word of God. Can't get them to come to Sunday school. Can't get them to come on Sunday night. Can't get them to come on Wednesday night. I was telling Brother Chris, in 30 years I've been in evangelism, I've seen this decline. Hey, preacher friend, where's he at? Where's your missionary at? Philippines. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to close. I was in Rockingham, North Carolina just recently. Preacher come to me, and he's 77 years old, and he said, Brother Sisson, said, if it's all right with you, said, I'm going to give Brother Matthews a Sunday school hour. I said, wonderful. I didn't know who Brother Matthews was. He holds dual citizenship in Brazil, in the United States. He was born on the mission field. He's 70 plus years old. I'd never met the man. He walks to the pulpit, and the nose right here is gone. This part of his nose is gone. It's just gone. Just gone. The gristle's gone. Top of his ears is gone. He's got ulcerated sores all over his face. He's in his 70s. He taught that morning on Matthew 16:18. Lord, he's talking about the church. And he said, brothers, he said, I can't wait to get back to my native home. Talking about Brazil. He said, we live in the ultra part of the country of Brazil. He said, it takes me 2 days. He said, mostly, he said, we'd go one day by anything we can get, truck or anything, by four-wheel drive, then we have to walk a day to get back to his village. And he was talking about the decline in America. He said, every time I come in, like 8 years from furlough, and he said, I see our manner of dress. He said, he loved the church. He said, I see how that Americans, he said, we talk about a third world country. Boy, I'm telling you, you talk about a man speaking to this preacher's heart. I've seen this decline. We kill 1,500,000 babies every year in America. And if we have lived long enough, when the Supreme Court legalized abortion, eventually, if Jesus doesn't come, they'll accept. I will never accept it. You won't probably. I'm talking about gays and lesbians. Ain't it pitiful? What's our hope, Brother Sisson? Get on our face before God. Two men at a funeral. Same scenario. Would you go get the body of Jesus? Would you go before Pilate? Oh, Brother Sisson, now think about Joseph, think about Nicodemus. I'm saying, would you do it? Would you go do it? Yet our day and time, you can't even get people. They told me this, if I preached on the street, they said they'd lock you up. I said, I've been there before. Let them take care of me a while. 3 square meals a day, air conditioned. Don't bother me, go to jail. But my point in telling you that is you can't even get people to stand up, let alone go before Pilate and beg the body of Jesus. Brother Sisson, you must know him intimately and personally. The gospel explodes in your heart. Being good, here was a man that was a just man, an honorable man, waiting for the kingdom of God. What made him do that, Brother Sisson? Did he hear the voice when he cried with a loud voice? Did it signal him to go get the body? Something did. I want us to stand and bow our heads and close our eyes. Unashamedly this morning, you say, Brother Sisson, I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I mean, yeah, you know, I know I'm saved, Brother Sisson. Brother Yandel's going to come. I'm going to ask you, how many of you would get out of your seat and come and say, thank you, Lord, for wearing the crown of thorns. Thank you, Lord, you cried, it's finished. Lord, would you help me to identify with what's important? I'm going to ask you to come. Come on, would you do that? Would you identify with what is important? I like what Brother Chris said this morning. You're so important to him that if you'd been the only person upon this little mud ball planet, Jesus would have died just for you. That's how much he loves you. He was hanging on the cross, suffered the enigma, the spit running down his body. And yet Joseph and Nicodemus went and craved the body and begged the body. Lord Jesus, please, God, finger around our hearts and, Lord, tenderize our hearts. I pray, God, this morning, sweep over, Lord, grace. I pray, Spirit of God, if there's one here lost, Lord, please, I pray, bring them to the end of themselves. Lord, may they cry out with a loud voice. Oh, God, please, this morning, help us to identify with what's important. Please break our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.